Welcome back, everyone. Going into the second hour here of Bounce Power Dark Side, week number 4. Adam, I believe you need to talk with someone. I don't know. Maybe you're muted, though.
Sorry. Belsa. So where are you? We come back in on you. We fade in on Belsa. Where do we see her? What's she doing?
Belsa is in the comms room again. And she's kind of like sat in silence. And she's entering like a moment of forced clarity to foresee the events that are going to happen for this day. She's about to go to the Moth and like give him points for his speech that she's prepared and stuff. And she just kinda, like wants to use foresee to see how all this is going to go down.
Okay. So yeah, the titles or the sound then we have like a kind of quiet, you know, the sort of tense violins. And I think the audio track fades in some like gunfire sounds and some like screaming. You know, we can see, do you have your eyes closed or open? Like what is your meditation closed? Okay. So we can see like your eyeballs moving. We had a nice close view of Belsa's face and your eyes moving under your eyelids. And maybe like a vein kind of throbbing in your temple.
Yeah, it's not like a peaceful thing. I'm like over on a desk, like hunched.
Like a barely contained rage kind of thing. You're turning the hate inward, and there's like these sound effects that come in kind of layered over each other of chaos, and then we snap to a series of sort of blurry kind of vignetted shots of your 4C. So do you want to make a roll?
Yeah, I already made it.
Okay, perfect. All right, so this means you need to spend, or you need to take some strain.
Yeah.
So you can use it, but
let's do it.
Okay. All right. So you take strain equal to the number of wishes results you want to use. So you just take one strain, and I think that we see like the bead of sweat sort of drip down your forehead, and you know the light side, the conciliatory side of the force, the side of the force that wants you to like give up the things you desire and to you know be hammered down. It tries to show you like a way to peace for Terrace, right? Like you see people pulling down the Imperial flag and like, you know, the Imperial vehicles burning, someone, you know, walking through the street with a stick with a stormtrooper helmet on the top, like cheering. And then you're able to focus through that false vision of the future.
Yeah.
And I think that we see like this sort of film burn effect, and it's replaced with a Star Destroyer above the planet and like stormtroopers marching in the streets.
Just order.
Yeah. And then we kind of wind back to see how you get to that point. So if you're looking for, I guess you're still, you know, your foreseeing ability is still, still very vague. So I think that you see things as, There's a balance, a bit of a sort of tug of war being done here, and at its center is Theron Talon's pet bounty hunter. You sense that she's, and maybe you see a vision of her. You see Lana in the cell, and she's angry, right? And she's trying not to give in to her anger, but you can feel it. You can feel that anger from her, and I don't know, maybe not for the first time, but it's certainly like pointed in the right direction, right? She's not angry necessarily at Theron for once. You're used to feeling Lana getting pissed off, but you see her in her cell and she's angry at like the Republic. Like these rebels have done something to her to make her mad at them. And if you could harness that anger and turn her against them, you could secure a significant victory. The dark side doesn't tell you how, but it sees a value in Lana Jory's hate, and you feel the sense of you know turning that to your own means.
Cool. Yeah. Belsa just kind of like stands up straight and like sighs heavily and looks at the wall. There's like nothing on the wall in front of her.
Yeah, I think we hear the sound of an automated door slide open. So you hear the hiss. And there's the sort of whisper of long, like, robes against the floor. And I don't know, do you turn to look, or do we see this person behind you because we're looking at you, because the camera's pointed at your face?
Yeah, I would like turn to look.
Okay.
Kinda like startled, I guess.
Yeah, so you see, yeah, you're a bit like jarred out of your reverie, even though this person is obviously very practiced at entering a room quietly.
Yeah.
And you see Assistant Chamra, and he's got a platter, kind of a silver plate that he's carrying, and on it there's a decanter of some kind of like blue like liquid, and a sort of crystalline like wine glass that reflects the light from the room. And he looks sort of like sheepishly at you when you turn to look at him, and he says, "I've been instructed by the Moth to care for your needs. You and your team have seemed under considerable stress of late. I thought maybe a drink would help." And he like comes over smiling and like places the plate on the table. And he says, "But I can bring you food or something else if this is not to your liking. It's a fine vintage from the core systems."
Bus just kind of like looks down at the table and then like looks up at him with like a forced smile.
Yeah, and he's like got his hands in his robes and kind of like gives you an obsequious nod.
"This will be fine, thank you."
Yeah, and he bows low at the waist.
Cool. I kind of like gesture for the cup to be poured.
Yeah, yeah. So he picks up the decanter and takes the top out of it and pours you a glass of this sort of sparkling. And when it hits the air and pours into the glass, I think it changes color. It changes color from this like light blue to like a dark purple. And he kind of smiles and picks the puts the decanter down and gestures for you to take the glass.
I think I take the glass, just like lean back with one hand on my hip. I just kind of like sip it and just like. Mm-hmm. Out like a gasp, and then I think we like wipe away from Belsa.
Sure. Yeah, perfect. Okay. So yeah, we wipe to I guess probably her hatefulness herself. Lana, you're in your cell, because where else are you gonna go? And I think that Corporal Nale and two Republic commandos approach, and they're kitted out for battle now. Like, she's got a weapon, and she has her like helmet on, but the faceplate is like retracted. The other two are wearing like backpacks, and they have blaster rifles, and they're wearing like urban camo. So they're all in this like black and gray camo, and they have their faces painted. Nale says to you, she says, "We have a mission for you, Jory."
I keep sitting, and I'm kind of like holding my hand because I punched the wall like really, really hard.
Yeah, yeah, so totally.
I'm just sort of like, wow, that actually really hurt. and I say, I didn't get my food.
She says, "There'll be time for eating later. We have to act now."
And I look over at her and just stand up, and I just clear. I do look pissed off, and it's maybe it's unclear whether I'm pissed off at her. I'm pissed off at like how hurt my hand is. So
yeah, yeah. She. So do you stand up? Do you like make any effort to show?
Yeah, I get up and I walk over to her again and stand before her.
Okay.
Like dead stare.
She takes out a data pad, and she says. Before we go anywhere, and well before you get any of your equipment back, I'm going to show you something so that later, if you decide to make any foolish moves, and she holds it up, and we don't see it, right? We see your face, and it plays a video. There's obvious like light moving on your face in the dark. But what you see shows you in no uncertain terms in your mind that what she threatened before, she has followed through on. And that the leverage that Talon had over you is now in their hands. So we don't get to see it, but what is your reaction? What do we see on your face as that's happening?
I think that like she just goes like ghost white, but also just really angry. Just really, really angry. Is there any way I could do like, I don't know if this would make sense, like a perception check to see if it really is in her control or if she's just like, she knows about it. Because, I mean, in my mind, this isn't something that they'd be able to get that quickly and that easily from.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's only been a couple hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can make a roll. It's going to be difficult because, you know, it's not like you're necessarily, like an expert in, video forensics or anything, but
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can certainly make a perception roll.
Okay. So what's the difficulty?
I'm going to call it a difficulty. Well, let's take a look at her skills here. It's going to be a difficulty 4.
Purple?
Yeah, 4 purple.
Okay.
And actually, since I have all the dark side points, I might as well use one. So I'm gonna upgrade that. So four purple on you on the bad side, and then one upgrade on that side too. And then you can make a perception roll.
Wow.
Wow. Good luck.
Okay. So yeah, why do you take a strain just watching it? But why do you fail so dramatically? Like,
I think the thing is like Lana is upset by this, obviously. What they've shown her is something that's always upset her, and that's why she's like they've been able to maintain control over her for so long. Or Aaron has.
Mm-hmm.
So like she just gets even more upset and becomes I think it's clouded by the emotion.
Yeah. And yeah. Yoda would not approve.
Yeah. She gets very clouded and
yeah.
Just can't see through that.
Sure. So somewhere else in town, Belsa, you feel like a sense of warm satisfaction, right? Like you're I think because of your role, you're like tied to Lana's like general emotional, and she's like, she's just getting angrier.
Cool.
Yeah. So we see that anger in your face. And
there's like this quick scene of Belsa like sipping the wine. And as she puts the glass down, like there's this big grin on her face.
Yeah. And can we tell if it's different than your usual, like, icy, like, fake smile?
Yeah, this is, like, a real smile.
Right, it's a little more, like, shark-like.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, and the assistant just kind of, like, nods, like, yes, I've brought, yeah, good. Like, he feels like you're smiling because he did the right thing. But
yeah,
really,
yeah. It's
good. So, back in the cell, Corporal Nolly looks at you, and she shakes her head, and she's like, what are you so angry about? I thought this is how your kind worked.
And I shake my head. I'm like, no, usually they just pay us.
Well, consider it insurance. You'll get paid when we're done with you.
And I shrug and I say, what do you want?
She says, we saw some stormtroopers moving around in the residential districts outside the castle. Otto Mateen was with them. We want you to kill him.
And she just like heavily sighs and she says, okay, by when?
She says, this is how it's going to work. You're going to escape. And she does the little sarcastic quote. So you're going to escape. And then you're going to go running back to your Imperial friends. That's going to give you an opportunity to get close to Mateen. When you have that, and then one of the rebels, he's holding your vibro sword. Yeah. She looks at it. And she's like, well, you're the killer. You figure out the rest.
Is he going to hand me it?
Not yet. They'll take you outside and like re-equip you and kick you out.
You see her, like, you see me just like walk over the wall and I hit it again with my fist that's already hurt. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I need my sword if I'm going to kill. It's yes. My weapon. I need it to kill.
She says, yeah, she says, we'll give it back to you as soon as you're released, once we've got some safe distance.
I shake my head and I say, no, I need my weapons. I need my weapons, and then I'll go kill.
And she presses the button that drops the wall. And one of them, the other rebel, the one that's not holding your sword, he takes out a bag. And he's like, he comes over like to go to put it on your head. And he's like, all right, let's get you out of here. And then puts a bag over your head and everything goes to black. So they're going to basically like set you loose in the like middle city. and I'm gonna send you back to your friends so that you can, you know, murder them. They wanted you to kill Theron before. You didn't do that. They've seen Otto kind of out and about, and they know he's planning something. And we get rid of him. They'll probably be happier the more of them you kill off. And now they have this leverage over you, which means that Theron doesn't. Yeah. But basically, before you're let go, they remind you, like, you know, don't fuck this up because it's gonna go badly. And so you get turned loose. Meanwhile, when do you, I guess, team at large, when do you get the Moff to like deliver his speech and like start the,
I think Sam needs to talk to him and
then yeah, Sam needs to talk to the Moff.
I also wants to have like a meeting with the Moff.
After I leave the jail cell, I go to Elsa's, wherever Elsa or Belsa is, not Elsa. Mm-hmm. And say what Theron said to me, like, you need to go talk with the Moff, make sure everything's squared away, because this plan needs to enact as soon as possible, or else Theron might actually die.
Are we, like, having this conversation?
Yeah, I mean, I say that to you. I don't know if there's anything else to say. Like, I'll probably just say that and walk out of the room. Let me know when you're done talking to the Moff.
I just put like the empty chalice down on the table and just walk out to find the Moff.
Okay. Yeah. 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 So we wipe to the Moff, and he's at, I think we get this sort of like kind of almost inadvertently comical scene of, you know, him and his father's like chair.
And he's like drowning in it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's just like legs barely reach the floor. They've probably put a stool at the foot of the chair so he can, like, you know, not have his legs dangling. And he's talking to like a merchant, like someone who's obviously not part of the Empire, but is dressed nicely. He's got maybe like a big like gold like chain around his neck, and he's talking to him in a hologram. And they're finishing a conversation, and the Moff saying, you know, he's saying like, the deals that you made with my father are still true with me. I assure you, you'll get all the mineral resources that you need to finish our droids. Excuse me. And he like puts his hand up and he looks to you as you enter the room. What do you do? Are you like, no, go ahead and finish your call, or just like walk up?
No, I let him finish. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So he turns back and he says, my apologies. We'll have someone contact you soon. I have a lot of work to do. My father's business was complicated. And the man kind of like bows, the hologram, he bows and he says, thank you, Moff Rilcott. And it flickers out. And and the kid turns back to you, Belsa, and he says, he shakes his head and he kind of laughs as you walk up to him. And he's like, I haven't had more than a few minutes sleep since my father died. Being a Moff is difficult work.
I kind of just nod sheepishly and then put my hands upon my back. And I just say, I wanted to apologize for earlier, Moff.
He raises an eyebrow.
When I grabbed your hand?
He shakes his head. He's like, I've already forgotten it.
I value take my work very seriously, and sometimes Darren tends to land us in hot water with the higher-ups and cause me some stress.
Well, I can say thankfully we haven't had a lot of dealings with you, with the ISB. You see, you're the kind of people that usually show up when things have gone terribly wrong, and prior to now, well, and he kind of like puts his hands up sort of helplessly. He's like, well, hopefully this will be, and I mean no offense, our first and last interaction. What can I do for you, Agent?
Buzz kind of smiles and she says, well, it looks like you can save Theron, for starters. And she slips this this data pad towards him. And on the data pad has a list of points for his speech. And these are basically highlighting what we want him to say.
So,
the key points are that we want him to say that we were insurgent agitators that we had killed the original ISB agents and taken their place to spark a revolution, to mock the very idea that the Empire would execute someone on TV. And while he's doing this, Otto is going to detonate the explosions. Obviously, I don't relay that information to him. And I'm going to rescue Tharren from the facility. So I'm just kind of like laying out these points for him. That we are rebels. We intercepted this Empire convoy and took their place. We were here to incite a riot, and that would have lost many innocent lives.
Okay.
And yeah.
Well, let's take a look at, let's see if you can charm him. You're going to have a significant advantage because he does really want an excuse to let Tharren go, right? Like, he considers Tharren a mentor and a friend, but he also feels like his hands are kind of tied and you're coming to him with a solution. So he's going to be willing to kind of overlook some of the details that might make him look bad. It's interesting because to sort of the Imperial philosophy, being friends with Tharren, like seeing Tharren that way, is actually weakened him as a Moff because he's not thinking clearly, right? His faith in his friends is becoming a weakness where he's like, oh yeah, okay, maybe I should think about Theron's well-being. But for you to convince him to do what you want, it is an advantage.
Is this a leadership role or?
So I think it depends, right? Like, leadership is more about like rallying the troops, swaying a crowd. He's going to need to make a leadership role when he goes to deliver his speech. But for you, convincing him to be your puppet is probably charm, because you're not threatening him, right?
No, I'm not threatening him.
Okay. All right. So the difficulty for this is going to be his... let's see.
My charm sucks.
It's probably going to be his cool. So we're looking at one green, or one purple and one red.
And one red?
One purple, one red, yeah.
Uh-oh. All right.
Cooler than your average Imperial cucumber, but still not very practiced yet.
Here we go.
Do you want to use a destiny point?
Yeah, how many?
Yeah, you got one. I used one against Lana.
Oh, do we?
Yep.
All right. Yeah, I'll lose. That's one blue, right?
No, it's an upgrade. So click the use light side. It'll flip it over. Add one upgrade to your pool, and then because of his softness for Tharren, put two blue dice. So you're gonna have on your side two blue.
Two blue, one upgrade, and on your
two
side.
Two blue, one upgrade. On their side, yeah, one each of red and purple.
Okay.
And just throw that force die in there for fun. We can ignore that.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right. So yeah, you succeed and with some advantage. So you can either recover the strain, or if you'd like, you can use that advantage narratively so that he's more positively inclined just towards you as a person, right? Where he's like, okay, yeah. So he reads the speech, like he's sitting there, you know, kind of poring over, reads over it, gets to the bottom, and goes back to the top and rereads it again and kind of like nods, and you're watching the emotion on his face, and like I think you can start to see like the adult emerging like from the child. Like he's only like 15, but you can start to see him, like he's taking this very seriously. And he finishes it and he nods and he looks at you and he says, "Did you write this, Agent?"
"Yes, I did."
He shakes his head a little bit, and he's like, "It's very eloquent. Where did you study? Coruscant?"
I kind of just smirk, and I kind of like hide, I'm trying to force back the grin, but I'm still grinning, and I'm just like, let's just say, I have other powers at play besides schooling.
He kind of quirks an eyebrow at you, and he gives you, again, like going with the, like, you're seeing the man emerge from the boy. He gives you a fairly like lewd up and down look. Like he gives you the whole up and down and kind of like smiles at you. And he says, it's always nice to be in the presence of a woman who is as charming as she is beautiful.
Why, thank you.
And he looks back to the speech, And he says, I have to tell you, I'm not precisely excited about the idea of having the people learn that we're going to have rebel agents escape from my dungeon.
Fucking chat.
But if it means that Theron will be safe.
And we'll be out of your hair.
And what about afterwards? What am I to do? I've looked over my father's military assets. We're running quite low. When you leave, are you being replaced? Am I going to get stormtroopers? Or are you giving me tools to crack down on what I'm sure is going to be a trying period for Terrace once you've left?
I'm going to include it to my mission report, and it is my hope that we can send you reinforcements as soon as possible.
I would love it if we could find where these rebels are hiding, and before you leave, as a gift to me, you turn your hound Mateen on them. After what he did to those factories, well, I wonder what he would do if he was pointed in the right direction. And you can see him kind of like fidgeting excitedly about the idea of like blowing up the rebels.
Yeah, Balsa kind of grins and she says, "For once, Moff, you read my mind." And then she like just kind of like gestures that she's leaving and just runs and leaves the room.
Yeah, and I think we don't follow you as you leave. We just follow him, kind of like wringing his hands and just like grinning after you as you walk out.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna leave the room, and my next point of call will be to find 161 and just relay the plan to 161 because we need them to act as Moff soldiers trying to catch the rebels.
Okay. So yeah, so the plan that you relate to TK-161 is he's to take his men and do what with them?
He would attempt to recapture us. That's part of his broadcast, is that we are going to escape, and he's going to attempt to recapture us using our soldiers, which obviously they won't catch us.
Okay. So basically just make a big show during the speech of being like, I'm sending the Empire's finest after these rebels and we'll find them.
And we're going to basically vanish underground is the plan.
Right. Okay. So he'll
simply briefing 161 on putting on a show of trying to find these rebels. Yeah.
Sure. Sure. Okay. Cool. Okay. So I think you finished telling that to 161 and he says to you, he's like, permission to speak freely, ma'am.
Go ahead.
Well, it's just, this is all so complicated. What if we run into any real rebels?
Then you kill them.
All right.
It's not complicated for you.
Gives you a little salute. He's like, not complicated anymore, ma'am.
Good, good.
Yeah, so he turns around and basically tells men like you heard the lady, let's go put on a show. And the Moff's like propaganda machine starts running and starts to like, you know, tell people, you know, get everybody together. The Moff is going to deliver a speech, you know, at sunset or whatever, and he's going to address the people. So make sure you be there. And I think that this is where we see, Lana. So Lana, you are unceremoniously, like we see a door, like in a grungy hallway somewhere, or a grungy alley. This like alley door opens up and a hooded figure gets shoved out into the alley. So your hands are still like tied in front of you. So you stumble out into the alley, so the bag over your head. Maybe you like fall to your knees in a puddle.
Under my like fist that it's already hurt, and I just hear me just like cuss, it's like really loudly, and it echoes in the alley.
Yeah, and then you hear a clattering as someone throws like the bag with all your gear in it next to you. This is like clashing sound, and then suddenly like your eyes are full of like bright light as someone yanks the bag off your head, and you see Nale and the two rebel commandos, one of them is coming over with the key to like unlock your manacles, and Nale looks at the bag and she's like, all of your equipment's in there. We're gonna be keeping an eye on you, and I think she steps forward before the guy undoes the shackles, And she comes over with like what looks like a like she's got a gun in her hand, basically. You can't really see it, it's just the shape of a gun. And she like puts it up to your shoulder, and then it's like a sudden like sharp pain. And then she like takes it away. And there's like a little spot, and we can see some blood like spreading under through your shirt. And she's like, "We'll be tracking you. When the job's done, we'll know. You can come back here." She like gestures around, and she's like, "And wait."
How strong is she?
only one way to find out.
Oh, fuck, man.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, you look over, you don't have your armor on, but like your sword is like lying like right there.
Oh man, I wanna kill her so bad. I wanna kill her so bad, but I don't. I wait for them to uncuff. And I'm still like, my hand, I think by now is like started to turn black and blue and start to swell and all that. And I'm just like, I'm just so angry. I don't say anything. Mm-hmm. No, I don't flinch to the gun or anything, but I wait for them to uncuff me because obviously I can't do anything.
Yeah. So he comes over with a magnetic key and just beep and they snap open. He takes them off. And he does it. They're treating you like literally like the other guy has his like rifle ready and they're treating you like a caged tiger or something. Like he comes over really like kind of nervously and like takes the manacles away and like steps back. Like he thinks you're going to like bite him or something.
I immediately grab my sword and I just like hold it and like just dead stare her the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. And she shakes her head and she's like, she's like, "You need to keep that temper in check.
Bitch gonna get slapped. You gonna get slapped." Like, "You need to keep your mouth in check." And I just like grab the bag and walk away.
Okay.
Hey, but before I do, I take note of my surroundings.
Okay. Sure.
Try and remember where I'm at.
Okay. Yeah, so you come out into the street and there's some like vehicles and there's like a bit of like a traffic jam, I think. And so you can hear the cars like kind of honking at each other, these like hover cars, and maybe like a delivery drone like flies overhead. And you can see that on every corner there are these like huge holograms of the young moth. And like there's an announcement playing that's like, "The moth will address his people in, you know, 46 minutes. All basically it's saying like all communication channels will be overridden for the period of the address. So it's like warning everybody to be prepared for that. So where do you go? What do you do?
I go to a cantina and drink. No, just kidding. I want to see about like either getting some sort of jammer or being able to take the tracking device out.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a vibro sword. You could chop it out of there, but just tack your arm off, throw it in a dumpster.
I mean, if they gave me all my gear back, I'm pretty sure I have like little knives and stuff as well.
Yeah, you do. But if you just dig it out and throw it in the gutter,
I want to take it out and hold on to it, like put it in my pocket instead.
Okay, so where do you do that? Do you want to just like do it like out in the open? Like you can stop and pull your bag open, but it'll be suspicious if you start pulling weapons out and armor and shit.
No. I think I go several minutes. I walk and then I find an alley and I sort of just like go into it and I put my bag down like behind a dumpster or something that's there. Put my bag down and I just like reach in, grab one of the smaller knives and I start.
So you're digging through your bag. And you hear someone approaching, like down the alley.
Yeah. I look at them.
Okay, they're not trying to make any effort to be like quiet or anything. Maybe they like knock over some like garbage or something. It's like a youngish looking like near human. They look human, but maybe they have like a like horns in the front of their head and they're like kind of like a bluish color. Yeah. They look sick. Like their cheeks are sunken. They're wearing like basically rags.
Yeah.
And he comes up to you with his hands out, and he's like, "Spare credits, ma'am."
I sort of just like look at him, and I mean, I'm obviously still really pissed off, and I pull out the knife, and I just
you take the knife out, and he like puts his hands up, and he's like, "No, please, I'm sorry," and like he starts to back away.
And then he just sees me like lift up my shirt and start cutting my skin. And I'm
like, you're like digging out the thing. Okay. Well, let's see how cleanly you do it.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Can you make a medicine roll?
Yeah.
I think the difficulty is to like dig this thing out like safely, because it's not really meant to be dug out with a knife, and you're like in an alley, and it's like not a scalpel or anything. Let's call it we'll call it three. So three purple.
Okay.
But I'm gonna be a jerk and spend a point. So three purple and one upgrade on the difficulty side.
Jesus.
And the skill is medicine.
Oh, did I do the wrong one? Yeah, I did it.
You got it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, whoa, boy.
You didn't get it. You didn't get anything.
Yeah. It's three purple though, right?
It was three purple, but with three purple with one upgrade.
All right.
Yeah. So you start to like.
So how does Lana kill herself?
Yeah. Oh my God, that'd be the worst. You just start to dig in there, and you're like, oh, I probably shouldn't have cut that. Just blood just sprays out of you. No. So you got three advantage, which is enough to.
Can I spend it to be like, oh shit, okay, I should stop doing this?
Yeah. So the advantage means you stop before you hurt yourself. Had you gotten like a despair or some
disadvantage? I would have been fucked.
Yeah. So you like start cutting, and you realize like it's way deeper than you thought. Or maybe it's like moved since they embedded it, like it's still moving, but you're like, nope, you're going to have to like really get in there. And then you take the knife out.
I take the knife out and I look up at the guy that's near me and I.
Yeah. And he's like eyes are wide and he's like got his hands up and
I reach up and I grab him and pull him like face to face with me. And I say, yeah, find me a doctor and I'll give you everything I have on me.
And he, throw him. Yeah, he shakes his head. He's like, I don't know anyone in the upper city. I shouldn't even be here. And he's like trying to back away from you.
And I stand up with like blood just like going down my abs and all that, and I'm just holding the knife and I'm like, well then find me someone who will know how to find a doctor.
Okay. Well why don't you roll to coerce this guy, and then if you do, he'll like take you off to the middle city and we'll fade out and do another scene while that's happening.
Okay. What do I roll?
Roll course. You're threatening him. You've got a bloody knife.
What's my difficulty?
Two. Just two. Yeah, two purple.
What's
okay. I mean, you're plenty intimidating, but he runs. He's just like like flees in terror. And so you're
and I just like grab the bag and start walking with like I don't even care anymore.
Yeah, I'm just standing.
Can you not upgrade anymore? I'm already. and then you just see me walk out, and I start walking.
Listen, you're only rolling because you keep resisting your hate. Just let the rage flow through you. Sure, murdered this guy for his time.
That's right, man. That's right.
Cool. Okay. So, meanwhile, is there anything anyone wants to do before the speech, before the like the execution of the plan?
I wanted to talk to Theron.
Yeah, it's gonna be tricky.
Yeah.
And time's running down too. We're probably at like, I mean, you have your watch. We're about like 10 hours before before Theron needs to make the call.
Does Lana even know about the execution going on?
Yeah, because it's only 17 hours.
Yeah, she just wants to talk to Theron to make sure the call gets made. But then also, you believe that Theron doesn't have the leverage that...
No, I want to tell him what's going on.
So you just want to report in.
Yeah, I want to report into him.
When is the Moff supposed to announce that this execution is going to take place?
That's totally up to you.
I mean, I would say
you guys get to decide.
Out of character, I would say as soon as possible to garner as much spectacle as possible.
It's not going to matter because you're going to set those bombs off at the end, like when he's about to conclude his speech, you're going to set those bombs off.
Oh, okay.
Cause
okay.
A panic. And that's when Sam saves me and the three of us get the hell out of there.
Okay. So then maybe that's what I do. I Otto goes and finds Belsa after cleaning my gun and making sure that everything's good on my end. And I also like get some sort of garb to like throw over our faces so that we're not easily seen on on the streets when we're trying to escape or something like that. And then I go tell Belsa like, I'm ready whenever you are. If you want to start this now, we can. And I would suspect we should probably start like right when the sun's going down, so that the explosions are easier to be seen and it's easier for us to get away in the dark.
Yeah, so like what's going on with the Moff and stuff, Adam?
So the Moff is ready to deliver the speech. He's going to tell everyone that you you showed up and you were actually rebels, and that they're going to execute Theron. And he's going to basically just say, like, you know, these are the failures of my father's regime, and I'm going to crack down, you know, Iron Fist of the Empire. These are some stormtroopers. I'm going to send them out to go and like, you know, clean up the city. And then you're going to stage the big, like, the buildings are going to explode. A bunch of stuff's going to go on. And, you know, and then he'll run for cover. And then this is when all of you are going to escape. And then the stormtroopers will go after you and then meet up with you again later.
Cool. Yeah, so I think you have this scene where, like, the Moff's broadcast, like, comes on.
Mm-hmm.
And you see Otto and Belsa walking through like the Moff's dungeon, and like Belsa's replaced her black cloak with like this dusty brown one, and Otto's got like a scarf on, and Belsa just takes the shield down of Darren's prison and tosses him a brown cloak and says, "It's time, sir."
Okay. I think that we get the speech, and the shot cuts back and forth between these moments of action and the speech itself. And you know, we're leveraging the fascist imagery as hard as every other Star Wars thing ever did, right? Like the Moff is up on his podium and he's like shouting and like, you know, spitting and like there's this huge, you know, red, black and white, like Imperial banner behind him and the stormtrooper guard. And he's shouting about like, you know, we will not let this so-called New Republic spread its filth and lies here, that the noble men and women who were murdered by these Imperial or by these rebel, interferers, you know, we're going to execute them because a statement must be made. And, I think that it shows, it's shown a few times, like he's shown like footage of Theron like in his cell, you know, especially that shot of you kind of like with your you know, head down, you're resting, but like they're showing like, look, he knows that he's gonna die and that we want everyone to see this so that the people of Terrace know that this kind of behavior will not stand and that the Empire is strong. And and people are getting hype about it. But the crowd is predominantly like upper city. I think we also probably get some shots of people watching this speech in the like middle or lower city on like crappy, you know, fuzzy projectors, like aliens in the crowd looking like terrified, right? Like they're like, okay, cool. So once this fervor takes off, they're gonna come after the aliens, you know, it's gonna be terrorists for humans, it's gonna get worse before it gets better. And that as the speech reaches its like fever pitch, as it reaches the crescendo, what happens? Like, how do you guys execute your plan?
I think at that point we're already, I would hope that we're already kind of walking out of the Moff's building, and I just hit the explosion.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So you're leaving. From like, how are you getting out of the Moff's facility? Because we talked about there only really being the main like door in and out.
Oh, we're going out the front entrance. Yeah.
Yeah. The plan is to set off the explosions, and in the chaos, we like when everyone's escape. Like, "What the shit?" Yeah, we go out and we'll be dressed hopefully like everyone else and not look like ourselves and be covered, and we go out the front door.
Yeah, I get like I said, I got garb or whatever to dress ourselves.
Okay. So let's make, since you all had some time preparing, you all got ready and stuff, there is still going to be a chance, since there is only this one main entrance or exit, you're moving through the crowd, you got robes and stuff. There is like an off chance that someone might like recognize you or see you. So someone.
Well, that's fine. Like, we'll take that chance.
Yeah. Definitely. Because you're already.
Make a stealth roll.
Yeah. Well, so I think. Let me see. Yeah, blend into a crowd. Perfect. Yeah. So it's going to be a stealth roll.
Okay.
I'm going to say difficulty. Let's see. We'll say difficulty 3, cause there's so many people who might spot you, but also, take two advantage dice.
So two of the blue dice.
Yeah. Take two blue dice.
Do we have any light side points or did Lana?
Yeah, you should be able to see on your sheet.
Okay. I was just making sure.
We have one.
You guys have one.
I definitely want to use it.
Okay, go ahead and flip it. So put an upgrade.
Aaron used it.
What?
No, I haven't used anything.
No, it's up to date.
Yeah. So I use that, and then use here's. The point. What?
What are you rolling for?
To stealth out.
Yeah, sneaking everybody out.
Are we sneaking everybody out?
Yeah, the three of us.
The three of us. Let me roll
it, not you.
I have four stealth with one yellow.
All right. Well, I get two extra blue dice on a stealth roll, and they get one extra difficulty trying to identify me with indistinguishable.
Damn.
Yeah, so you can pass that along because you're part of this group.
Oh, I can pass that along. All right. Yeah. So, AP, you get
one extra blue die. Is that what you said?
Yeah. I think so.
Sam?
Belsa's gone into a forced coma.
Yeah.
I'll check her sheet.
Okay.
Yeah, because she's got an ability called Indistinguishable. And upgrade the difficulty of checks to identify characters once per rank of indistinguishable. So difficulty to identify you. Wow, this is perfect for this. So when you're upgrading, that's another upgrade for you, basically.
So three upgrades.
There's nothing to downgrade on there. So.
Okay. So three up. So I'm rolling three upgrades against three purple die.
You're going to roll.
Two blue die with two upgrades.
Two blue, two upgrades against, yeah, two purple. This is dramatically weighted in your favor.
What did you actually just do to fucking Zoom? There's two of you now. How did you fuck this up this bad?
Oh my god, now that one's frozen.
I don't even see him.
Jesse, kill your cam and oh my god. Sam is ruining everything. He's literally rooting everything. Okay, now start your camera, okay. Jesse.
You're
Jesus
back.
Christ. Good. All right.
I just crashed.
I'm rolling two blue dice with two upgrades against three purple die.
Yes, against three purple, okay. And you're using your stealth.
Okay, yeah. Here's the roll.
It's going to be fine.
Hopefully I don't fail this shit.
Yeah, hopefully.
Oh my god!
What happened?
Just like extreme triumph, the most triumphant.
Holy just shit!
Hellaciously triumphant. You're all invisible. They think you're someone else. They're like, "Hey, there goes Luke Skywalker." So a triumph on stealth. Identify a way to completely distract your opponents for the duration of the scene. So I think this is a combination of Belsa is just a master of disguise, basically of being indistinguishable, of like helping everybody just look like nobody. And you specifically laid out that you, you're the one that organized the disguises here. So you have total control over what the crowd remembers, if anything. Do you want them to just like remember nothing? Are they like so totally focused on the explosion that they don't even like register?
I think the best thing would be that they are so focused on the fact that the Moff just gave a speech about how the rebels need to be stopped and explosions just went off, which were clearly rebels. There's no other doubt about it in anyone's mind. And they don't even recognize that there's a group of three people escaping and like, no one realizes that we left.
Right. You just blend into the crowd because the crowd panics and starts to flee too, right? They're just like, everybody's running away because it's suddenly become a very dangerous.
There's like some force manipulation here too. Like I'm feeding off the fear of everyone around.
Oh yeah, totally.
We mask our existence. So we're just gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, cause that's the thing, right? Like that's kind of a recurring thing is that their fear clouds their judgment and maybe somebody looks right at Theron and like makes eye contact with you, but instead of recognition, there's just the glassy cattle eyes of the mob as they flee in terror.
This is sleight of mind. This is a legit force power.
Yeah. Yeah. So everybody, scatters. And I think that the Moff, like TK makes a big deal of being like, protect the Moff and like making sure, like getting him like head down and like rushes him back into the fortress. And and so he'll announce later that the stormtroopers are going to hunt you down for daring to do this for the escape and all that. But for now, you and the crowd like break away. Cool. So we cut back to Lana and you, where are you when the explosions go off?
I'm probably still in the streets looking for a freaking doctor.
See, based on your luck, here's what happens. You find a street doctor, and he's in this like abandoned building that nobody's in for some reason.
And you die, the end.
Yeah. He's like stitching it up. He's like, oh, you poor deer. And then boom, the whole building falls on you.
Can you not use any dice against me for the rest of this time? I've had the worst luck already.
So what you're feeling here is what Sam felt during the original Age of Rebellion when every time he rolled, I was like, you know what? Destiny points.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That was your fate single-handedly.
No, you don't get blown up. There's no building that falls on you yet.
Yet.
So if you want to, you can just spend, a destiny point to just, oh, you don't have any, never mind. So you need to make a roll. If you want to find a doctor, like a street doctor that can yank this thing out of you, you can make a streetwise roll to make that happen. It's locating
a
merchant.
Can I phone my friend?
You want to get in touch with Neb?
Yeah.
Hey,
Neb, I need some help.
Yeah, I think you can lean on Neb to give you an advantage die to like, because he, okay, even if he doesn't really know anybody who knows anybody, he at least will be willing to pretend to be like, oh yeah, I got contacts. I can help you out with that.
Okay, I'm gonna phone a friend. So what's the difficulty?
All right. So we see you like, you know, kind of like holding the self-inflicted wound. And you're in essentially like a Star Wars equivalent of a phone booth, and you're talking to Neb right before the explosions happen. So the difficulty is going to be two purple dice to just find like a street doctor. And you can take a boost die and make a streetwise roll.
What's boost?
One of the blue ones.
Okay. And which one do I use? Streetwise.
Streetwise.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Damn, Otto, that stealth roll's so good. Okay, so you don't get any successes. So you talk to Neb. You reach out to old Neb there.
Can I just kill myself? Can I just kill myself?
Right, you're all gonna kill yourself.
We just see the outside of the phone booth, and then just a splash of blood as Lana cuts her own throat. So you don't succeed. You can work off all your strain. Those four advantage can buy back your strain. Let me see if there's anything else that advantage can get you. It's like you're not getting what you want, but you have all this momentum for the next thing and not doing what you want.
And I'm not getting what I want. I'm getting pissed off. I'm getting worried. I think they're following me.
Oh, okay. So with an advantage, I can reveal additional rumors or an alternative source. So you may not get what you want, but so Neb. So when you get on the phone, with Neb, and he's like, oh, you know, I stay away from violence. I abhor violence. I'm terrified of, I can't even look at blood. And as much as I would love to help you, Lana, I don't have those connections, but I could get you in touch with somebody who might, but see, here's the thing. And he like gets kind of quiet. He's like, all right. So it embarrasses me to have to tell you this, but after I ran into you, me and some of the boys, we were drinking, playing some Sabac. I might have let slip. I spotted you in town. So, you know, you might want to lay low for a while.
What the fuck, Neb?
I'm sorry. I got excited. We hadn't seen each other in such a long time. And I wanted them to think that I'm cool. And I know a cool bounty hunter, Lana, and you're just, you know, you're so tough and... I don't have a lot of friends here, okay?
Listen, motherfucker, you owe me.
he's like, yeah, no, of course, but I watch out for that.
Thanks. Click.
Damn it, Neb. Yeah.
Damn it, Neb. So now I'm even more pissed off.
Yeah, so you hang the phone up and pull the shield on the booth open, and you step out into the street, and then boom, right? Like everything shakes, and you can see on the horizon like a mushroom cloud like rising up, and people are screaming, and like, yeah, like all of a sudden it goes from you're feeling frustrated to like sudden chaos in the streets. This building that got blown up was like maybe like a block away. And I mean, how big are these explosions, Otto? Like, are we talking like controlled detonation, which is like less fire and brimstone and more like the building falls down and there's a lot of smoke and dust? Or is it just like huge fireball? Like, it's supposed to look like a terrorist attack, right?
We put them on the roof, right?
So they I put them on the roof, so I would think the roofs. I mean, maybe one or two of the buildings collapsed on itself. Otto is not really aiming to do anything other than just cause a big spectacle.
I think you'd have like four buildings that are just flaming pyres at the top with like smoke and flame. And
that's probably
a good way to describe it. Okay, so less like destroy the whole building and more blow up some part of the building. Okay, so I think that you look, Lana, and you can see, like the top third of this building is like partly blown up. There's fire and smoke and like bits of debris floating in the sky. People are running around screaming. What do you do? Where do you go after this happens?
Well, where are we going? Do we have a plan as well?
I mean, we've seen you guys sort of disappear into the crowd, and I want to start with you wherever you are. But before we go there, I'm just curious to see where Lana goes.
Gotcha.
I'm still gonna look for a fucking doctor. I know I can't take the, especially now I see this blow up, and I'm like, well, great, they're obviously up to something. Them off based on what he said, and then all of this happening, it's like they're obviously up to something. And so like I try to like I pull like my hood back over and I pull up the to conceal everything but my eyes, and try to disappear into the crowd some, but I'm still like I gotta get the tracker out before I go back to them, otherwise they'll be able to find me.
So where do you go? I mean, you've just like, you've kind of exhausted the upper city. I mean, you could go to like a legitimate like doctor to try to have removed and then threaten or bribe him not to say anything.
Yeah, that's what I think I'm going to do. I'm just at this point, I'm just going to give up and be like, no, I need to go to a doctor.
Okay. So, sure.
I mean, I have a wound in my stomach and my hand.
Okay. Yeah. I've got some ideas about how that might go. Okay, cool.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
let's
ideas and a lot of Destiny dice.
Let's grab a break here and we'll catch up with our secret Imperials when we get back.
All right, fantastic. We'll be right back. We'll take this break and we'll see you after.
That looks good.
See you soon.
I'm so jealous of whatever the fuck that is.
Some sub or something. I don't know.
It's a Sam sandwich.
There you go. It's a Sam sub sandwich on Sunday.
A sandwich.
A sandwich.
A sandwich?
It's true. We'll be right back.